Accession number 20817, Reel 3.
Fuzzy Fries, Reel 3.
Carry on now. Well, we had telescopes on the guns. There were one for the training, one for the elevating, and I went on one of the telescopes and trained the gun round. And the skipper was on the bridge. Don't train that round. Bring that 4.5 price, he says. Otherwise, the people ashore think we're going to fire on it, because they were Russian. They were Russian. Most of them were Eskimos. A lot of people ashore, these stations. There was a station, like a big building there, on the shore. And as I turned round, he said, "No, don't. Put a 4.5, they think we're going to fire on them." So they put a 4.5 and I kept quiet. But it was really like, it was a fjord. This place was a fjord, and it was, all these ships that we had, the Polymaras and us, and a couple of merchant ships with us, and the trawlers protecting us in the harbour. After a couple of days there, I think it was 2.5 days, we set sail down the ice pack to a place called Economia, which was near Archangel. We stopped there to get a pilot and take us into Archangel.
When you were at Novaya Zemlya, did you have much contact with the people ashore?
No. We never had no contact at all. We never, aboard us, but I don't know if anybody else did, but we never had any contact with people ashore. We couldn't go ashore in any case. We weren't allowed. We still had to stay there in case anybody, if any aircraft or anything come over.
Did the Germans find you at Novaya Zemlya?
They found us after we left there. After we left there, they found us where we were creeping down the ice pack. That's when one of our main blinking attacks occurred by the ice pack on the way to Novaya Zemlya, on the way to Archangel. Quite a few of our, they were attacking us all the time. It was just every 5 minutes. Whereas once they get a wave, you just go in, go back, and another wave, just come out and have a go at us. But as I say, we were very, very lucky indeed. Our skipper, we were just like a blinking shuttlecock going back and forward, all the time, sideways, backwards, sideways, to miss the bombs coming down.
But you weren't hit.
No, we were lucky. We had a few near misses, but we were very, very lucky. We come down as they come down, the water used to drop them alongside us. But we were touched where we missed it all the time. The aircraft they were good, but I think we were better to keep them out of the way.
What was it like in North Russia when you got there?
We got to Economia, and there were, we were laying alongside the Economia waiting for the pilot, and there were children who were on the jetty, were asking for sweets and things like that, where we had, chocolate, and we gave it to them. And I've got photos of it. And then they took us round to Archangel. And we were laid alongside a jetty there. And the Russians come along and made a proper jetty, like a big platform there. And they put a little hut there. on the jetty, and we run cables from the ship to the electric cables to the hut, and we used to have put our gramophone in there and music, and we had a couple of ladies come down from Moscow, and talking to us and all this, trying to learn us Russian. Anyhow, while we were on this platform, we made a big played cricket. We got organised by playing, and we'd run out. While we were there, we'd run out of fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and all like that. So we used to go round the villages all the way round, trying to catch all the vegetables like potatoes and cabbage or whatever we've got. And we used to give them all our. We used to give them tins of. A tin of fruit and stuff like what we had, give them that, and we used to get and cigarettes for bartering all the time, because we never had the money to give them, so that's what we used to do, and they were all right to us, the people, the people ashore, they in the villages, thank God you've come here with all, bringing all this stuff here, but for us. And they thought, well, you ain't bought enough, like. But half the stuff we were bringing over was bringing down the bottom of the sea, getting things knocked down. But I say the Russian people were going to, even when we had radar aboard there, and when we had air attacks, they used to have air attacks. They used to come round and they used to fly over from Norway for having attacked us. And we used to do the radar for them for the headquarters in Archangel. We were quite a way off. And when the air raid used to come, we used to tell them, there was a bloke come round on a horseback ringing a bell, air raid in Russian, air raid in Russian, going round the villages. But what was happening is, see, what American ships were laying alongside, alongside just pass off, and the Russians wouldn't let them off. They wasn't allowed ashore because they thought they were spies or something like that. And I got talking. Got talking to one of these blokes aboard and invited us around the mess. He said, "Have you got any drink, rum or anything like that?" I said, "Well, I think I've got a bottle." And I took a bottle along there. I gave it to one of them. He said, "Oh, thank God, mate." He says, "Oh, we haven't had a drink since we left Lincoln, America, like." So he gave me a nice fur-lined jacket, which I've still got. And because they got to such a state, these American sailors, they were distilling the alcohol out of the paint to drink. And a couple of them folded up drinking this stuff. Because it wasn't very good to them, they died due to this. But the Russians wouldn't give them bugger all. We would give them nothing. And we've got in such a state that we're in the end vodka, and we run out of meat, and they gave us some yak meat. They sent some yak meat for us to tide us over. Well, while we were waiting, we had the ammunition come up for us and food was sent up by this Yank destroyer, brought us up, which Godfrey Wynne went back with her to England. and he said cheerio to us and all his love, bye bye. And he said, you're blinking lucky going back. But he got back all right. I say it was the Tuscaloosa, I think is the name of the ship, this destroyer. Well, that was our job there.
How did you get on with Russian authorities in
Norway? Well, the Russian authorities, they were very surly. You know, they wouldn't, I say, they, when the stuff used to get on the, say we bought petrol and all like that, they never had any places to put this stuff, you know, for the aircraft. They never had the facilities for doing it. And there was a truck there, an old truck, and they filled this truck with bringing all this petrol, which is because they never had any facilities for it to put it there, or aircraft parts. They just leave them on the blinking jetty. And I'll unload them and leave them on the jetty. No transport or nothing to get them away. Oh, it was. We got the stuff there. What was left over, and that's what they used to do.
How did you come to leave there?
Well, we left there after we got all our. Got the oil, stuff, and went back to. We went back to Belfast from there. We got into Belfast and said, "Well, you're going to have 3 days leave. I think just a weekend." Well, no, and I was lucky again. I was CNM party aboard. I couldn't get home because it's quite a long way to Mitcham from there. And I stayed aboard. I said, anybody lives local, then they go. So I was CNM party aboard then. And we were there, I think we were there for about a week. Then the invasion of North Africa was going on. We went to that. From there, we went to Tangiers. We left into Tangiers. From Tangiers, Tangiers, and then from there down to right the way we were escorting the army. As the army moved down the coast, Berserta, Bougie, up to Alexandra, we're giving the army the radar as we just go alongside and give the army radar for any aircraft to bomb in their troops as they were going through, you know, the escorting the Yanks and all that down to down the coast. And we got to a place called Bougie. We were laying alongside there and during the night a torpedo bomber come up and got one in our stern, and that was our lot. I was ashore. I was lucky because I never got wet. But one of our gunner's mate, he copped it. He was a smashing bloke called Sandy, and he copped it. He was on the gun deck aft. And he copped it that night because quite a few were killed aboard there. After that,
so the ship was hit in the stern.
In the stern, she sunk.
And where were you in the ship when they?
I was lucky. I was ashore. I went ashore to get some. We had to go ashore get some supplies. Well, I go ashore with them to escort them ashore because I was. Because we was all, they were still, you had to have an escort there in case anything got nicked. You had to escort, you know, the supplies. But after that, I I went either trip down to Gibraltar, and from Gibraltar there was a Empress of Russia in there, and I went aboard there, and it took us down to Plymouth. But we had a lot of Italian prisoners aboard there, and we had to guard them, make sure nothing happened to them. And we got into Dunport. And then I went up to barracks from there, to the barracks in Portsmouth. Give me another draft kit, which was on a corvette, and I got on this corvette, HMS Rhododendron, and I was bosun aboard there. And we used to go up and down the Med. While it's still on, there were still submarines around there in the Med, the Jerry subs. And we used to do the escort in the anything that went up and down the Med. But one of the ships was sunk. These Yankee ships were sunk, and we picked up, I think it was four, there was quite a crowd, I've picked up four Yanks aboard, and brought them aboard, and they took them down to our mess, which is aft, and they were something to do, they were playing cards on our bunks aft. They were playing away, and then we went from, while we were there, we took them to Algiers. We dropped them off at Algiers, and they said, "All right, lads, whatever's with our winnings and all that, help yourself." All the money they won, so they gave it to us. For, here, you have a drink on us. You saved us, and that was it. But that was our job, going up and down escorting these merchant ships in the Med.
So these were American merchant seamen?
Yeah, four.
What did your job as bosun involve?
Well, looking after the up deck of all the boats. So we had whalers, and we had boats aboard there, and keeping the ship in good trim. Like, you know, I was like a handyman aboard there. See, when we used to go alongside in Gibraltar, especially, we were a flotilla. We had French with us. We had a lot of our lads. They're all a flotilla, all of the flower class corvettes, and we formed a flotilla. And you used to go alongside these Frenchmen, and they used to come aboard. I've got anything, you know, I used to look after the paint as well. Can you give us some, like a blue? You've got a blue? Yeah, all right. You take some paint over for their camouflage. Give it to them. They used to, help yourself. All these bottles of drink they used to give us. But it was like bartering as well. You know, they used to help us, and we used to help them.
Were these warships or merchant ships?
Merchant ships. No, they were corvettes, same as us.
Any actions with the enemy that you remember in
Rhododendron? No, we were very, very lucky. We kept clear. That was the only time when this Yank ship got torpedoed, when we picked up the four chaps from America. She got sunk. It was a merchant ship, and they were, as I say, it was a bit quiet out there until we had the invasion of of Sicily and Italy. Well, we were lucky there. So we got to Malta, and we were kept back. I don't know why for, but there were. We never done any action there in Sicily. But as I say, I was very, very lucky out there. I've been lucky all the time, I think.
What else do you remember happening next?
Well, I say from there, I say the whole thing out there was, it was nice and warm in there. That's why I'm concentrating. It was different from being in Russia. And it was different. I say we went ashore there, and all I had were my blue suits on, and it was so hot out there. You know, so when you go ashore, it was big until we got some white suits to put on, tropical gear. But on the whole, going to Tangiers, and it was just like a tour out there for us.
And then?
From there, I came home, sent me home, and then I went on to a Welcome. It was another flower class corvette.
Welcome.
HMS Welcome. She was frigate. Went aboard there. I was aboard there for about a year, and then another one from there. I went to Carisbrook Castle, which is a frigate, and the war was just about finishing, and we used to go out in the North Sea. In the Atlantic, I should say, and escort the aircraft back to America. We used to stay there. We were a weather station, really, and we were in. We had 10 miles a square. We were in a 10-mile square, and we kept in that square, and giving the aircraft as they flew over to America with all the. From Orly Airport to America, and we used to give them the weather report and what was happening and all on the way through. And even some nights with the PO, I was a PO aboard there, we used to go on the bridge, used to take, you know, in it, because do a stint on the bridge with a subby or somebody. And keep the ship in going forward or forward. And as they come over, these Yankees come over, we were in communication with them. We said, oh, we're going to drop you a paper, guys. You drop you a paper. And they used to send this paper down on a blinking handkerchief. never used to miss us. But wasn't heavy enough. But... sometimes they had used a paper bag, a plastic bag, and drop these papers, all the local papers down on the onto our. We used to get them sometimes, and then the Spaniards had come out, and the fishing boats from France used to come out with their fishing. And we used to give them bread, and they used to give us fish for barter. Same again. That's all we done then, bartering. And that kept us alive. But it was warm enough sometimes to get out and jump over the side and have a swim in this area. You know, we used to well protected.
Were you in Carisbrook Castle till the end of the war?
Yes. No. After that, I say I went to this Welcome. Carisbrook Castle, and then this Welcombe, and then we used to do fishery protection on the Welcombe. I left Carisbrook Castle and then went to the Welcombe, and we were doing fishery protection up in around up to Lerwick, up the Hebrides, all around the Scottish coast.
Protecting the fishing vessels from what?
Well, this is Welcombe. She was a frigate, and this was our job. Any you know, stopping all the blinking, the fishermen doing things wrong.
Such as?
As their nets and. All their nets and fishing where they shouldn't fish, like they do now. You've got the fishery protection going right the way around the coast now, doing the same thing as we were doing then.
Was this during the war or after the war?
After the war.
When did you come out of the Navy?
60.
Were you in any other conflicts apart from the Second World War?
It was only the... Spanish War, as I say, Spanish War.
How do you feel now about having served in the Royal Navy?
I was invalided out, and I would have liked to carry it on, because I had the chance to go to, after the war, to go to, before I was invalided out, to go to... New Zealand, Australia, an Australian Navy, but the wife didn't want me to go.
Were you invalided out because of conditions on the ship?
Yeah, I had ulcers, stomach ulcers.
Was that attributable to Royal Navy service?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Was the food bad?
Pardon?
Was the food bad?
Well, I don't know. It's like anybody outside is on the, say, night, different times of eating, and you, one minute you say you eat it at, you have your breakfast or your lunch at 12 o'clock, the next time you might have 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When you had the aircraft radio, you had to be on watch all the time. You had to be there, and they used to say, "Come on." You couldn't gauge your meals and all that. So I think that's what brought it on. You know, irregular eating. That was one of the things. And also the stress we went through, which was very, very bad indeed. But if some of the Navy chaps had it now, they would have been dead by now, half of them.
Which was the worst time that you had in the Navy?
I say it was the Russian convoys.
And which was the best time?
Before the war, on the Hood. Because, you know, out there, you know, you had the sunshine, and we used to play water polo and visit these other places, like I used to go to Split, Yugoslavia, one of the places we went, and I'll say Barcelona, Valencia.
What rank did you finish with?
Acting chief petty officer.